turn again to John's Gospel and chapter 8. We've been dealing in recent weeks with the passage that runs from chapter 8, verse 21. Now, throughout this whole section, Jesus has been debating with a group of Jewish leaders. At one stage, chapter 8, verse 30, these men actually said they believed in the Lord Jesus. They were very impressed, very moved by his preaching. They found all that he said very convincing. They believed him. But since then, their attitude has changed. They've been listening to what Jesus is saying, and the more they listen, the less they like what they hear. They find the words of Jesus increasingly offensive. And so, these men who said they believed in Jesus, these men are becoming more and more angry and hostile to him. And yet, the Lord Jesus continues to speak with them. He is so patient in the way that he reasons with these men, the way he answers their questions, the way he speaks so seriously and solemnly to them. These men become more and more sarcastic and scornful, and their attitude is more and more aggressive and vicious. And yet the Lord Jesus doesn't walk away from them. And he's still preaching God's word to these angry men. He is so patient, he is so persevering. He gives them every opportunity to listen and to understand God's message. Now, in this section, in the section that begins at verse 21, we've looked so far at two themes. Firstly, in verses 21 to 30, we've considered Jesus Christ the only way to heaven. That is the central theme of verses 21 to 30. And then secondly, in verses 31 to 47, we've considered Jesus Christ the only way to freedom. And now thirdly, in verses 48 to 59, we see Jesus Christ the only way to life. That is the theme that we see in verses 48 to 59. Jesus Christ, the way, the only way to life. Now, as we've worked through this section so far, we've seen that the Lord Jesus uses a very simple picture to bring home to these people their situation. He uses the picture of a home, a household, God's household. Now, in this household, there are many slaves. And that is the position of these Jewish leaders. Yes, they're there. They're part of God's household in this picture. But they are still slaves. They're there in God's household, mixing with God's people, but they are not themselves God's children. They can't call God their father. And what that means is that they could be thrown out of God's household at any time. From God's viewpoint, these men are only slaves. And as Jesus says in verse 35, a slave has no permanent place in the family. That's the position of these men. day may the good men, religious men, moral men, but in God's eyes they are still slaves. And one day God is going to have no further use for them. And they're going to be thrown out from God's presence. They don't actually belong. They've got no permanent place in the family. For those of you who know your Old Testament, these men are like Ishmael. And you remember Ishmael grows up in Abraham's home. But Ishmael is a slave. He's not really part of the family. And when Ishmael is in his teens, he's thrown out of the family. Well, in just the same way, one day these people are going to be thrown out. They're going to be rejected by God. They are not his children. They have no permanent place. In God's eyes, they are slaves. God tolerates them for the moment. But he doesn't love them as he loves his children. One day he's going to send them away. He's going to banish them. That's the picture Jesus uses. But then there's another part to the picture. These men are slaves in the household. But within God's household, there's someone else. Someone who's not a slave. Within that same household, there is a son. The only son of the family. A son whom the father loves with all his heart. He's the father's darling. He's the heir. The father is the head of the home. It's all his. But the father thinks of it all as being for the son. You see the picture in verse 35 again. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. That's the contrast Jesus paints. The slaves on the one side who are going to be thrown out when God has no more use for them. And the son on the other side, whom the father loves, and who is always going to be there with the father. Now Jesus is the son. In this picture, and it's much more than just a picture, in this picture, these Jewish leaders are slaves. But Jesus is the son. The only one who has a right to call God Father. The only one whom the Father loves with a perfect, total, unbroken love. Jesus Christ is the one who has the right to live with the Father forever. Heaven is his own proper home. It belongs to him. He's the heir of all things. If these men are like Ishmael, well then we say that the Lord Jesus is the true Isaac. He's the promised heir. He's the one who owns it all by right. Now, as I say, that picture runs all the way through this section. You see how often Jesus speaks of God as his Father in this passage. In verse 38, he says, I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence. You see, the Lord Jesus is the Son. And the Son is allowed to come close to the Father. He's admitted into the Father's presence. And the Father shares things with his Son which he wouldn't share with anyone else. And then Jesus can go out and tell others what he has seen in the Father's presence. Do you see what a special, unique place Jesus, the Son, has with his Father? There's a wonderful intimacy between the Father and the Son. These men are slaves. They've never known what it is to be in the presence of God and to feel God's love. But the Lord Jesus is the Son who has lived in the presence of God for all eternity and who has seen all the treasures of God. And now he speaks as one who has been in the Father's presence as the beloved Son. And then again, in the verses we're looking at today, in verse 49, the Lord Jesus says these words, "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honour my Father." Do you see? Again, it's the picture of a beloved, loyal son who wants to bring honour to his Father. Jesus says, "I honour my Father." Jesus lives his whole life honouring his Father. That's the great motive in his whole existence. Everything he says, everything he does, is done out of a desire to bring honour to his Father. I find it very moving when I read the story of Isaac in the Old Testament, to see there how Isaac, the beloved son, honoured his father Abraham. If you read through the story of Isaac from beginning to end, you see all the way through that story how Isaac wanted more than anything to do his father's will. How he wanted to follow his father's example. How he wanted to please the father in every way. Do you remember when the time comes for Isaac to get married? He doesn't go out and seek a wife for himself. He trusts his father to choose a wife for him. He honours his father in that way. And as later on, Isaac moves from one place to another, where does he go? Well, he always goes to the places where his father Abraham had lived before him. He literally walks in his father's footsteps. This is so typical of Isaac. We read this. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And Isaac gave them the same names his father had given them. Do you see? That's Isaac. Wherever he travels, he digs out the old wells that his father Abraham had dug in the previous generation. And he gives those wells the same names that his father Abraham had given them. He wants to honour his father Abraham, even in such little ways as that. He wants to use the same words that his father had used. In all these different ways, Isaac, the true son, honoured his father. And of course, the supreme example of this was that day when Isaac travelled with his father to a mountain called Moriah. And there the father tied him down to an altar. And Abraham heaped wood around Isaac. And then he lifted up his knife to kill his own son. Abraham was going to slaughter Isaac there as a sacrifice. And then he was going to burn up his body on that altar. And Isaac submitted. He was going to submit to his father, whatever the pain, whatever the cost. Why? Because he loved his father. He loved his father Abraham, and he was determined to honour him and obey him, whatever the cost. Now in all these things, Isaac is a forerunner, a true forerunner of Jesus Christ. When we look at Isaac, the beloved son of Abraham, we catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ, the true beloved Son of God the Father. Just as Isaac honored his father, Jesus Christ can say, I honor my Father. The whole life of the Lord Jesus Christ is lived with this one thought in mind. How can I honor God my Father? I'm his son. I'm the son whom he loves. Now, how can I serve him? How can I honor him? The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, honored his Father when he left the glories of heaven. And when he came to live in this sad, sinful world, he came because the Father commanded it. The Lord Jesus honored his Father when he spent those long years hidden away in silence, working with his hands in a carpenter shop. He did it because it was his Father's will. The Lord Jesus honored his Father when he walked down to the River Jordan, and when he stood in that river alongside sinners, taking his place with them as their Savior and friend, because his Father willed it. The Lord Jesus honored his Father every day of his life here in this world. He studied his Father's word. He thought his Father's thoughts. He shared his Father's desires. He followed his Father's example. He did his Father's work. He gave himself utterly, unreservedly, every moment to his Father. He loved his Father with all his heart. He submitted to the Father with all his will. He served his Father with every atom of his strength. Jesus could say, I honor my Father. Never forget it. Jesus is the everlasting, beloved Son of God. He is the one through whom all creation was made. But that does not mean that the Lord Jesus is free. It does not mean that he is independent. It does not mean that he lives to please himself. No, the beloved Son of God, the Lord of glory, gives himself obediently. He gives himself in loving, joyful, obedient service to the Father, and he does so every moment of his life. He never has one selfish thought. He never for one moment seeks his own desire, his own pleasure. His one great dominating thought is, I must honor my Father because I love him. That is the pattern of his life every day, every moment he lives here on earth. And then as his days here on earth draw to a close, the Lord Jesus kneels in a garden and he prays in anguish. And this is what he prays. Father, not what I want, but what you want. He's facing the cross and he's shaken by terror as he thinks of what lies ahead, and the sweat pours off him like great drops of blood. But still he cries out, not my will, but yours be done, Father. That's all that matters. If it breaks his heart, If it means that he is plunged into the nightmare of hell, he will still honor the Father. He will still do the Father's will. And so he rises from his knees there in the garden, and he begins the long walk to Calvary. And there the Lord Jesus, the beloved Son, is bound to the altar of the cross. And there the knife of God's judgment strikes to his heart, and the fire of God's wrath burns up his tender, loving soul, and he submits, because it is the Father's will. And even as the torrent of God's judgment is poured out against him, still the Lord Jesus cries, my God, in the deepest darkness, Jesus is still calling to the Father. He is still clinging to the Father. He is still honoring the Father and acknowledging the Father as his God. That is the relationship between the Father in heaven and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The Son can say, I honor my Father. In all eternity, in his birth at Bethlehem, in his life on earth, in that dreadful death at Calvary, the Lord Jesus honored his Father. No wonder the Father loves him. How Abraham must have loved his son. How Abraham must have loved Isaac when he saw the willingness, the unquestioning trust of his dear son. And how the Father loves his son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is worthy to be the heir, isn't he? He's worthy to be the Lord of the household. He's worthy to be loved by his Father. The Son has honored the Father, and therefore the Father loves him. And now the Father is determined to bring glory to the Son. Verse 50, the Lord Jesus says, I am not seeking glory for myself. No, not for one moment. Not for one moment did he seek glory for himself. His question was always, how can I bring glory to my Father? But then Jesus says, but there is one who seeks it. There is someone else who seeks my glory, says Jesus. There is someone who is determined to bring glory to me. Verse 54, Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, he is the one who glorifies me. Now do you see? Jesus has honored the Father so amazingly. And now the Father says, oh, I want this wonderful Son of mine to be glorified. I want everyone, everywhere, to recognize how infinitely precious, how worthy my beloved Son is. I'm going to glorify my Son. I'm going to heap glory upon him because he deserves it. Now these are the great truths that form the background to these verses, verses 48 to 59. They're not easy verses. It's sometimes very difficult to see how one verse relates to the next. But when you come to them with these great truths in mind, then you can begin to see what's happening here. We've seen two truths. Firstly, that Jesus is the beloved Son, the one who honors the Father perfectly. And secondly, that now the Father is determined to bring glory to the Son, to Jesus Christ. Now, with those two truths in mind, look at the words that these men speak to Jesus in verse 48. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" Could there be a greater blasphemy? They are speaking to the beloved Son of God, and they say to him, "You're a Samaritan." The Samaritans were a hybrid race. They were the descendants of Jewish people who had intermarried with foreigners. So that full-blooded Jewish people thought of the Samaritans as illegitimate. They said they had no place in God's household at all. These men are speaking to the beloved Son. They're speaking to the heir. And they're saying to him, "You're illegitimate. You don't belong here at all. In fact," they say, "you've got a demon." The beloved Son has been honoring his Father every moment of his life. Every single thing he's said and done has been what the Father has desired. And now they're saying to him, "All the things you've been doing are evil and demonic." Here is the Son whom the Father loves so much. Here is the Son whom the Father wants everyone to honour. And these men are mocking him, and they're heaping blasphemies on him. Can you imagine the rage, the hurt in the heart of the Father when he sees men treat his beloved Son like that? Those of you who have children, children you love, children you're proud of, you want other people, don't you, to recognize your children's good qualities. You want to hear people praise your children. And isn't it true that there is nothing that makes your blood boil as much as when your children are treated cruelly or unjustly by other people? And God the Father has to listen as these men pour out their insults and their blasphemies against the Son whom he loves with all his heart. They're mocking the Son who has served him with such perfect obedience. They're blaspheming the one whom he has decided he must glorify. Going back again to Isaac and Ishmael. Do you remember in that story from the Old Testament, Ishmael the slave dared to mock Isaac, the beloved son. And that was why Ishmael the slave was cast out. And these men, who are themselves slaves of sin, are daring to insult the beloved Son of God. What I am trying to bring home to you is this, that there is no greater crime than failing to give honour to Jesus Christ. There is nothing that hurts God's heart or angers him more than when we ill-treat or ignore or despise or reject his beloved Son. You see how Jesus replies to these men in verse 49. He says, I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honour my Father, and you dishonour me. How can they do it? To dishonour Jesus is to bring down God's judgment upon themselves. It's to provoke God. It's to drive a knife into the heart of God. You see in verse 50, the Lord Jesus says, I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks glory for me, and he is the judge. God the Father is certainly going to judge us. And of all the crimes that can be imagined on the day of judgment, the worst will be this: to dishonour God's own beloved Son. That will be all it takes to damn a man, a woman, a child on the day of judgment. Every one of you will face that question on the day of judgment. Did you honour my dear Son? We won't confuse ourselves this morning by asking about those people who have never heard of Jesus Christ. We don't need to, because you have. And the one question the Father will ask on the day of judgment will be, how did you treat my dear Son? Did you honour him? Did you believe my Son when he spoke? Did you obey my Son? Did you love my dear Son? Did you give my Son the honour he deserved? A real Christian is a man, a woman, a child who feels about Jesus Christ the same way God the Father feels. God the Father thinks Jesus Christ is wonderful. Do you? God the Father thinks Jesus Christ is worthy to rule over the whole universe. And have you reckoned him worthy to rule over your own heart and life? Do you feel about Jesus Christ the way God feels about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ has said, I honour the Father. And the Father has said, I glorify the Son. And have you said that? I live for the glory of Jesus Christ. His glory is all important to me. Nothing less than that will do. It doesn't matter what beliefs you hold. It doesn't matter what experiences you've had. If Jesus Christ has not become the center of your world, if he has not become the one whom you glorify, the one to whom you love to bring glory, if Jesus Christ hasn't got that place in your heart and life, how can you face the God who treasures Jesus Christ more than a thousand worlds? How can you look the Father in the face if you have not honoured his dear Son? These men dishonour Jesus Christ, and God will be their judge. God will judge them for that crime above all crimes, that they met Jesus Christ, they saw Jesus Christ, they listened to Jesus Christ, they heard the invitations of Jesus Christ, and they did not honour him. That is the crime that will cast them into hell forever. And I ask you this morning, are you honouring
Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus says in verse 51, I tell you the truth. Amen, amen. It's a most solemn vow. Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. On the one side, you have people who dishonor Jesus Christ. On the other side, you have people who keep his word. They listen to every word he says. They believe every word he says. They obey every word Jesus Christ says. They obey his commands. They listen to his warnings. They honor him. That is what it means in practice to honor Jesus Christ. It means to take his word and to submit to the word of Jesus Christ absolutely. Jesus Christ tells you that you are a lost sinner. Well, don't argue. Just listen to the word of Jesus. He tells you that only he can save you. Well, don't look for any answer. Other than that, come to him. The Lord Jesus gives you his commands, commands that touch every area of life and call you to repentance in every part of life. Well, don't question those commands. Obey them. The Lord Jesus gives you great promises. Don't doubt those promises. Trust him. Honor Jesus Christ. The Father loves to see men and women and children honoring his dear Son. The Father loves to see people giving Jesus that position. And that is why Jesus can say in verse 51, I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. You see, when a man, a woman, a child does come and submit to Jesus Christ in that way, when they do begin to honor him, something wonderful happens. That person comes under Jesus Christ's protection. They're joined to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Son, goes to his Father and says, Father, here is a slave, but I love this slave. And this slave honors me. I want to set this slave free. And I want you, Father, to adopt this slave to be my brother. And I want you to treat this slave as your son. I want him to share my position. I want this person who was a slave to share the inheritance. And because the Father loves his Son so much, he does it. Nothing else, nobody else could persuade the Father to adopt a slave as a son. But the Lord Jesus Christ is able to persuade his Father to take us and to make us slaves, his children. And so he adopts the slave into the family. And he gives to that slave the right to live in his home forever. He declares that that person who was once a slave is now a member of the family. And because he is a member of the family, he is going to share the family home. He is going to enjoy eternal life with God forever. That is the reason why Jesus Christ is the only way to life. What are we apart from Jesus Christ? We are slaves. slaves of sin. We have no permanent place in the household. One day we will be driven out. One day we'll be banished from God's presence, lost forever. We've got nothing to look forward to apart from Christ. We have no hope. There is only everlasting loneliness and ruin and disaster. But when I come to Jesus Christ, I find life. Because I share his life, his eternal life. I become a child of God through Jesus Christ. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Only a child of God can say that. The reason I shall dwell in the house of the Lord is because I'm one of the Lord's children. But I am only one of the Lord's children because of Jesus Christ. Because he has brought me into the family of God. There is a way. There is a way to everlasting joy. There is a way to everlasting peace. There is a way to everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the way to life. By his life, by his death, he has honored his Father. And now the Father is glorifying Jesus Christ. And the great way in which the Father is glorifying Jesus Christ is by giving life to all who come and bow before Jesus Christ. Well, may God speak to our hearts from his holy and perfect word.